Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. A few months ago, I was writing a research paper on law and artificial intelligence. I commented in that context that in the years to come, when artificial intelligence-powered machines, such as self-driving cars, become fully autonomous, they will need to make ethical decisions on the spot with little human intervention. This would mean, I said, that such machines must learn how to follow the rules for most of the time, but they also need to learn how and when not to follow the rules in extreme cases. Using self-driving cars, again as an example, in order to avoid a crash with a child crossing the road, for example, a car may suddenly decide to change its path instead and crash into an empty garden nearby. Then a lawyer friend of mine offered me a challenge. He said, "Now, Kelly, you could teach those cars to behave like Anglicans." He said, "Isn't it easy for you? You could summarize your Anglican creeds into a code of conduct and have someone translate that into a computer program and then install that program into those cars. Mission accomplished." He said, "If you do that, then our streets will be filled with cars that just act like Anglicans." I have entertained this idea for a while, but then I thought, is it really so? Can our Christian faith simply be lived out, either by human beings or by cars, by strictly following a code of conduct? The gospel of today presents a dilemma that shows the complexity of the relationship between laws on the one hand and our living faith on another hand. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. A woman crippled for 18 years entered into the scene. Jesus laid his hands on the woman and she was healed. The Holy Gospel is full of accounts and stories of Jesus' miraculous healing. What sets this story apart from other healing stories, perhaps, is that this healing happened on a Sabbath day, and Jesus was challenged by the synagogue authorities and entered into a debate on what ought to be done on Sabbath. The provision of the law of Moses is clear. One must rest and must not work on Sabbath. This commandment is even written in the back of our church. And unsurprisingly, the synagogue authorities, well versed with the law, cited that Sabbath provision and declared to the people that healing must be postponed to another day. Can one ever be condemned just for following the law? Indeed, the synagogue authorities failed to appreciate that they themselves were busy tendering their sheep and cattle Sabbath after Sabbath, not quite out of the love of animals, but out of the concern in maintaining their own property. To this, Jesus called out, "You hypocrites." The word hypocrite, read in its original Greek language, carries the meaning of a pretender, someone who says one thing and simply does another. Those who challenged Jesus also failed to appreciate that even before Jesus' time, there was already a tradition in the Old Testament asking Israel to turn away from its superficial piety, for what truly matters to God are people's hearts. As the prophet Isaiah declared, "The Lord has spoken, bringing offerings is futile, incense is an abomination to me, new moon and Sabbath and callings of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity." The prophet then asked his people to seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Accordingly, what the challengers of Jesus have really done wrong was perhaps not so much as keeping or not keeping the Sabbath law. They were criticized and shamed for their self-righteous attitude in keeping the technical conformity of the law to the detriment of a suffering lady. Worse still, they used their mechanical reading as a sham to excuse their indifference towards human sufferings happening right in front of their eyes. And they taught other people to do the same. And they criticized Jesus for his mercy and his healing. By doing so, they have broken another law, which was already there in the Old Testament times and was later established by Jesus as a greater commandment, which is, love your neighbor as yourself. It would perhaps be far-fetched to say that Jesus' aim was to abolish the law or the traditions. Rather, the concluding remark of Jesus' speech was that, "Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, be set free on the Sabbath day?" The word "ought" gives us not just an option or a license, but a command for us to look beyond the legal formalities and fix our eyes on our fundamental Christian duties. Love God and love our neighbors. In an ideal world, every religious and civil law, every rule and regulation should ultimately bring our world closer to God's kingdom. And in this contemporary Australian society that I have the privilege to live in as a citizen, it is perhaps indeed so for most of the time. However, there are darker times within human history and indeed darker corners in our world even today where the law is utilized to restrict or to intimidate people from speaking their minds, casting their votes, or simply worshiping God. What then ought to be done by us? Indeed, following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps we should also move beyond the mere text of the law and focus on its purpose and objective and the interests it seeks to protect. And by doing this, we fix our eyes on the ways in which we could bring peace, reconciliation and healing to our world and to our neighbors, each according to our beliefs and abilities. Some of us may find ourselves engaging in such struggles on the front line, ranging from speaking forthrightly in a board meeting to engaging in civil disobedience activities. Such efforts may, at least in a shorter period, disturb the existing power balance and appear to be just a bit controversial. However, if we look back at how much we have achieved in human history, we might find out, perhaps surprisingly, that our history is often propelled by such advocacies of changes, from the Magna Carta to the abolition of slavery to the universal suffrage movement. Last year, the United Kingdom celebrated its centenary anniversary of universal suffrage. In this context, the President of the UK's Supreme Court, Lady Hale, affirmed the suffragettes by saying, "Owing to them and others like them, we have the vote. We can become members of Parliament, we can join the civil service and the legal profession, and we can become judges." In our gospel story, the affirmation of Jesus' apparent breaking of Sabbath law happened just on the spot. However, sometimes in our daily lives, it can take decades, if not generations, for people to appreciate and affirm the efforts of those who advocated for us. However, if our God-given consciousness tells us that something is unjust, something is wrong, then perhaps our question to ourselves should never be whether, but how. How the wrong should be corrected, because we know that we ought to participate in God's healing efforts in the world. For most of the time, perhaps, we ourselves are not in the center of a debate, but, to borrow from the gospel's language, we are a member of the crowd, a quiet witness of a change unfolding in human history. If it is so, then perhaps at the very least, we could learn from the crowd as portrayed in today's gospel story. They were not intimidated by the earthly power of synagogue authorities, nor did they blindly follow what was required of them by the authorities, nor did they attempt to profit from making a power alliance with authorities against Jesus. Indeed, the crowd was simply rejoicing at all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing, and perhaps that rejoicing cheer gave honor to Jesus and the healed woman, and put the opponents to shame. What else is left to be said? In our pilgrimage of hastening God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, we have come quite far, and quite far we still have to go. We are always called to extend our vision beyond authoritarian dictates and the false sense of security that one might receive simply by following them. We are called to stay away from hypocrisy. We are called to join our efforts in defending the weak and the poor from oppression and injustice. And we are called to work in our world as agents of God's charity, grace, and love. This is perhaps not easy, This calls for our discernment and courage. And I say with all humility that you would take a lot of courage from me, being a person who likes to remain nice and proper all the time, to respond to such an imperative from the gospel. And I'm not very sure if there's always artificial intelligence to help me in making such decisions. However, let us always be assured that we are also daughters and sons of Abraham, children of God. God will stretch out his loving hands to similarly heal and renew us in our daily efforts. And therefore, in God's love and protection, let us carry on and carry on towards the salvation of our world. Amen.